Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you go to the store and you get a Powerball ticket, your chances of winning something, just something, is about 1 in 25. Now, I keep asking everybody, is Powerball still just about a dollar? They're $2 now? Thank you. Somebody actually answered. I don't even, well, I've asked that in three different services now. First time I've gotten an answer back. But the point of the matter is if you go and you get a Powerball ticket, your chance of even breaking even is 1 in 25 at best. That's your chances. Now, that's not too terrible. But my guess is that if you go to the store to buy a Powerball ticket, your goal in life isn't to break even. You're probably not thinking as you go home, boy, I hope I get my $2 back. My guess is you want the big jackpot, the whatever it is, millions and millions of dollars. And if you're like me, you wait for it to reach a certain threshold, right? Because 20 million, not enough. I say that joking because I think I was maybe 18 or 19 the last time I actually bought a Powerball ticket. But there's a truth in it. Now, if you want to know what are your chances of winning the jackpot of a Powerball, it is 1 in 292 million. That's your odds. So if that's what you're doing, planning on that for your retirement, might I suggest a better option? One that doesn't include the Powerball tickets. You might be thinking, well, maybe Pastor Chris, maybe I'll just go to a different one. The odds are better. But if you go to Mega Millions, it's actually worse. 1 in 302 million. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, I'm rounding down, not up. I'm rounding down. Your odds are actually better with what I just said. Whenever you look at a ticket like that and you're hoping for the jackpot, you might even go as far to say the odds are not in your favor. They are going against you. The odds are all, in fact, against you. If you were to win that jackpot, if you were to win that million, you might say, I won it against all odds. Now, maybe in a little bit more of a serious note, you probably understand what that feels like. Not just whenever you buy something that's fun, like a lottery ticket, but whenever you're doing something else. Maybe you're thinking back at your life and you're realizing that there have been times in your life when it really felt like there's nothing you could do to win. It seemed like everything you did, every step you took, the odds were stacked against you. Maybe something happened in your life and you thought to yourself, well, this is obviously the worst. It can't get any worse. But then all of the sudden, as you moved on, you realized that your brain wouldn't let it go. And that you mentally and emotionally kept bringing that thing up over and over and over again. And so you thought it was over, but it wasn't. It wasn't over. Instead, it felt like it got worse and worse. Or maybe it's nothing like that. Maybe it's something completely. Maybe you found a way to cope with certain things, but then after a while, you began to realize that maybe you were abusing that coping mechanism. Maybe you've tried to pull back a little bit, thinking, I can quit anytime I want, only to find out that it just pulled you right back in. And maybe it wasn't quite as easy as what you thought it was going to be. And maybe you found yourself feeling worse off than when you started. And all of a sudden, that expression of against all odds seems to make a whole lot more sense. Whenever you find yourself in those positions, it's easy to feel all alone. It's easy to feel like you're the only one that's ever experienced it, that's ever been through it, that knows what that's like. But the reality is that we have a Heavenly Father who understands that. He understands this idea of against all odds. Now, throughout Lent here at St. John's, one of the things that we did is we talked about the book of Exodus quite a bit. And I know, it's not one of our readings today, but you know what? I would be remiss if I didn't at least talk about Exodus for a brief minute. So bear with me, everybody. Just bear with me. But if you go into Exodus and you go to chapter 15, you get this song, this beautiful song that the Israelites are singing. When you put it into context, though, it truly is a beautiful song. The Israelites have been enslaved by the Egyptians, but it gets worse. They were beaten by the Egyptians, but it gets worse. Even to the point where after the 10 plagues, after Moses, after they were kicked out of Egypt, they found themselves with their back against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army coming for them. Pharaoh's army, at the time, at that point in history, the Egyptian army was the best and most skilled army in the world against a bunch of people who had just gotten done with slavery and had no weapons. I guarantee you, to the Israelites, it felt like there was no hope, like all the odds were against them. But you see, there's a reason that they're singing in chapter 15. They're singing in chapter 15 because Moses lifts up his hands. The Red Sea is split in two by the very will of God. They walk across on dry land, and when Pharaoh's army goes to get them, the sea closes in. They sing that day because they're alive on dry ground, and Pharaoh's army is not. Against all odds, they sing a song. They rejoice, and they praise God. All right, there's my caveat over there. We got to talk about the gospel lesson at least a little bit. See, because the gospel lesson, we see this again. If we went all the way back to the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus, we see Jesus being baptized in the Jordan, and then immediately he's taken out into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted and tested by the devil. But it gets worse. Pretty much right from the start, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the whole Sanhedrin council is against Jesus, but it gets worse. They decide to capture Jesus, but it gets worse. They want to torture Jesus. They beat him to a bloody pulp, just shy of death. But it gets worse. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They nail him to a cross, and then when he dies, they pierce him in the side with a spear just to make sure. And you might say that when that happens, whenever the person is dead and then they stab him, it's probably about the worst odds you have. You want to talk about against all odds. That's against all odds. But we're not gathered here today. We're not all seated in the pews and singing all these songs. We're not doing that because a good man died. We're not even doing that because a great man died. We are gathered here today because a great man died and rose again. Because the very Son of God died, and on the third day, that tomb was empty. And so we read through the Gospel of Mark, and we see, again, those ladies going to the tomb, and what do they find? They find nothing. The tomb is empty. They leave running. They leave alarmed and confused. They leave to go tell the disciples that Jesus is already risen from the dead. He's already gone ahead of them, just as he told them he was. Jesus Christ rose from the dead that first Easter morning. And so we gather together and we rejoice. We praise God. We praise God because Jesus is the first fruits of the dead. Jesus Christ conquered death. And so we rejoice all the more against all odds. But we also rejoice in the fact that through Christ Jesus, we have new life. Through our baptisms, we are buried with Christ and we are raised with Christ. We are given a new life. We are given new life through the working of the Holy Spirit, through our faith in Christ Jesus. We cling and grab hold to the cross through the very working of the Holy Spirit. We are given redemption, of reconciliation. We are given the forgiveness of our sins. There are going to be times in our lives whenever things look pretty grim, when things look pretty bad. This life isn't easy. We're going to have bumps. We're going to have bruises. We're going to have good days, and then we're going to have really bad days sometimes. But our hope is not found on how good our day is going or how bad the odds seem to be. Our hope is found in Christ Jesus, who has promised us eternal life, who has promised us redemption and forgiveness, not by our work, not by our doing, but instead through Him, through Christ our Lord, who died and rose again. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our common faith in